Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Doug Griffiths is back. Doug is a great member of our Brain Trust, president and CEO of 13 Ways, and he helps communities put their best foot forward in the 21st century. He's the author of the best-selling book, 13 Ways to Kill Your Community, now out in second edition, and he knows a little bit about those things, folks. Doug, welcome back.
Jim, it's great to be back.
It's good to have you back, as always. So I was telling the audience before you got here about this Brunswick stew of demographics we've got in our workplace these days. We've got up to five generations that's possible in any given operation, and get all those different expectations and behaviors and experiences, and it makes for an interesting time, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, especially the shifting in values. I mean, I'm a Generation Xer, and my parents and myself, we were supposed to work 60 hours a week for 50 years, generally for the same company, and they give us a gold watch when we go off and retire. But the next generations are, I don't know, I think they have a bit more of an appreciation for not working all the time. Not that they're lazy. I hate when people say millennials are lazy. They just want a quality of life to go along with.
Well, you and I work to live. So you and I live to work, and they work to live.
Yeah. Well, and it's a whole different mindset about how to work, too. They don't have the same sort of loyalty to any particular company, which it's why the gig economy is so strong right now. And then, I mean, that changes everything about our communities, because I always emphasize it ties into communities. Millennials are, they don't want to join the Elks or the Legion.
Nope.
Or go to a
relevance.
Meeting every Thursday night. Yeah, they want to.
And we're seeing that in the drop off in membership in Chambers of Commerce, in the Rotary Club, the Rotary International, Civitans, Lions, all those yeah. Civic groups that you and I felt was an honor to be part of. They just have a hard time seeing the relevance. Is there a level? See, when I think about being part of those groups, I think about subordinating myself to those groups and giving a nod to the fact that they're doing a greater good as an organization than I am would be by myself. And so if the millennials eschew that, does that make them a little bit? Is that a little bit of selfishness? Is that a little bit I wonder about that. Is that too harsh?
No, yeah, I think that's that's the problem. A lot of people think that millennials aren't as volunteer oriented, or that they won't eschew themselves to a bigger organization. But I don't think that's it. I think they just don't feel like they need to be part of an organization. They focus on the problem. So instead of having to sign up to be a volunteer for an organization and spend the rest of your life with that group, you give them a problem in a community, and they will come together and rally. I still, one of my favorite examples is a young man who decided they needed a community cleanup, so he went on Instagram and created a hashtag, clean my community, and it spread like wildfire all across North America. There were young people that picked up on the hashtag and went and cleaned up their community. They didn't belong to an organization, and they didn't.
And here's the thing:
they were more important.
So it's the vehicle. It's not the values. It's not the project. It's the vehicle they're not comfortable with. I mean, because
exactly.
Rotary isn't delivered. The chamber isn't delivered on a smartphone. And it comes
exactly.
back to it. Also comes back to this face to face thing. You know, they're more digital and less face to face, aren't they?
Yeah. We do a dishonor by saying that they don't care about communities or volunteering as much, because they do. They just don't do it in the way we did. But that doesn't make them less volunteer focused.
One of the things, Doug, that I've said, and I usually say it up front very quickly, and I didn't do it this time, But I say something I mean very seriously, and I mean it with all my heart. The millennial generation is probably the best human beings we've ever raised. They're the most, they're the least pretentious of any community group that we've ever raised. But that behavior is also affecting society. They're getting married later. They're having children later. That's affecting the demographics of our tax base, of our social net, of our real estate industry. That's a big part of Americana. They're buying their houses later. They don't care about, you know, they're less consumer motivated than the older generations are. It's, I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying it's affecting America. What do you think?
Yeah, and that's why I spend so much time across North America working with communities to try and help them realize, because we're facing, and the new book's going to be talking about it, the massive economic shifts, shifts in values, demographic shifts, shifts in technology, shifts in society, and the communities that are prepared to meet those changes head on are going to be very successful. Even millennials, I mean, if I sum them up in one, how the paradigm shift is going to happen, they don't want to be in subdivisions. They want to be in neighborhoods. Yeah. And 30 years ago, we quit designing neighborhoods and we went to design subdivisions.
I've been saying for a long time that before long there are going to be ghost subdivisions.
Yes.
Out there.
Yeah, I agree. And I, you know, there's still so many people that say that, you know, rural America is in tough. It's not going to make it. Except I think it's going to see a revival.
I think you're right.
They're going to be able to leapfrog cities
with connectivity and the gig economy. With connectivity and the gig economy, as long as your community has broadband, high speed, high capacity broadband, you're going to be okay, because people can work increasingly wherever they want to work, can't they?
Yeah. Well, in Canada, they just declared broadband necessity, of public utility. It doesn't mean any funding's come for it yet,
right.
So we have a lot of work to do. But if I wrote another book and finished it, 13 Ways to Kill Your, another 13 ways, chapter one would be, because chapter one in the first book is don't have quality or quantity of water. Chapter one in the next book would be don't have broadband, because that is the backbone of building the future economy and making sure our communities are prepared.
That's exactly right, and a lot of communities aren't paying attention to that. And they're going to be. I've written, Doug, that they're going to be like the town that the railroad went around. Not fighting for that connectivity is going to be existential for them. The book is called 13 Ways to Heal Your Community. Doug Griffiths is the author. He and I will be right back. We're going to talk some more about this topic after the break. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.